Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Chuck Oliver Show rolls on. Heath Klein in for Chuck today and the next few days. And, of course, no matter whether it's Chuck or whether it's someone else in the chair, we're always talking college football here on the Chuck Oliver Show. And that includes our look at all the headlines in college football at CFB 365.
Everything you need to know about college football every single day. This is CFB 365, presented by Ecoderm. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now for your free sample of Ecoderm pain relief cream and CBD from Frank Thomas. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now.
All right, Heath, our first headline we talked about a little bit earlier. Former LSU quarterback TJ Finley is choosing Auburn to continue his college career. He picks Brian Harsin's program over Alabama, Penn State, Houston. And he had started five games last season for LSU, throwing for 941 yards, five touchdowns, five interceptions. Now, will he be immediately eligible to play? That is still to be determined since he's going from LSU to Auburn. This just in. Within the same conference, the SEC expected to vote on intra-conference transfers next week when they meet, when it was normally supposed to be the meetings down in Destin, this year virtually.
Yeah, I can't imagine that the SEC will not join the other conferences that have done this. The Pac-12, the most recent one that I saw that got rid of any restrictions on transferring in conference. It doesn't make any sense. All you would be doing is handicapping yourself. And I get that there probably are some schools in the conference who would still rather not have to deal with the idea of someone leaving for another school in the conference. But the idea that there's a kid that wants to leave that won't leave because he couldn't do this, go LSU to Auburn, when there's so many other places a kid like that would be able to go. All you'd be doing is helping the ACC and the Big 12 get more transfers from the SEC. Keeping this rule in place when it's being done away with basically everywhere would just be stupid, and I don't think the SEC is stupid.
All right, next headline. Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte open at full capacity for the 2021 season for the Carolina Panthers. You ask, Dan, this is a college football show. Why are we mentioning the NFL? Because September the 4th, Georgia and Clemson already believed that it was heading towards a full capacity crowd for that one. This is just more confirmation for that. The guidelines, including two Heath, masks not required. They are optional. Are optional, easy for me to say, right? Optional for fans, but available if they want them. Proof of vaccination not required. They're not going to have separate sections for vaccinated or unvaccinated people. Also, two temperature checks not required. Stadium will continue to have enhanced cleaning. Hand sanitizer available throughout the venue, and mobile ticketing still available to improve efficiency.
We'll see how that goes by the time we get to September. You certainly hope that this continues to be true. I certainly don't want to pour water on any of this. Everything seems amazing. I think you look at the crowds yesterday at the PGA Championship. You look at what we saw in some of the NBA playoff games. It's as close to normal-seeming fan action as we've had since the pandemic began. But I for all the optimism we have, you do have to just acknowledge this sounds great today, and it will probably be true, but if something went kablooey in August, yeah, who knows? So everything looks promising. Let's all do our part to hopefully keep it that way and keep our fingers crossed it stays on the right track. The environment for Georgia-Clemson, even though you wish it was at somebody's building, as a neutral site venue, I've been to a bunch of neutral site games in Charlotte. It's not a great venue typically for that, but this game is so good, and the pent-up demand for a real college football atmosphere is so strong, that should be an amazing scene there at the start of September.
All right, Ole Miss expected to name Jake Thornton as their new offensive line coach. This according to AL.com. The 28-year-old, a former Alabama graduate assistant, he spent the last two seasons at Gardner-Webb as their offensive line coach and run game coordinator.
Yeah, touched on this obviously a little bit earlier, but he's a guy that the qualifications seem to be there. It is a big jump from FBS to or FCS to FBS, and your first job now in the SEC on an offense that was pretty successful last year. And I don't know what made him exactly the right fit, but it seemed like it was more about Lane Kiffin just wanting to get someone else different in there than specifically originally seeking him out. But he will be more scrutinized, and I think he is not, for a relatively young coach, has not been set up very well by not getting to go through spring football with his guys. So maybe it'll make no difference at all. Maybe he'll take to it like a duck to water. But it's a very interesting choice Kiffin made to delay this move. If he thought he needed to make a move on the O-line, he really should have made it before spring.
Final one, the ACC distributing a record $497.2 million to their member institutions for the financial year of 2019-2020. That is the highest amount of revenue gross ever reported by the league, according to ESPN. The increase of revenue is by 42 million from the previous year. Each member school got a reported 32.3 million.
Yeah, interestingly too, I guess Notre Dame got about 10 million for being a pseudo member of the conference in full for once, as opposed to just for basketball and some of the other sports. I don't know if that's enough money to ever turn Notre Dame's head for down the line if they ever decide that that's the direction that they need to go. The ACC, by doing this, they short-term are all right. Long-term, the deal they made for the ACC network, they're going to be falling behind the SEC and the Big Ten even farther. And that's one of the challenges. Their new commissioner, Jim Phillips, has been very quiet in his first few months on the job. We'll see what kind of a leader he is. He had a good reputation at Northwestern. We'll see what he turns out to be as a commissioner of a conference. But the length of that ACC deal and the dollar figures on that deal, short-term, it looks okay. Long-term, especially with what the SEC is about to add with the new deal that they have taken the CBS package and given it to ESPN and the money that that's going to bring in, the gap between the conferences is going to be substantial. And they really don't have any great options, short of getting Notre Dame to join that conference, for how they would find a way to bridge the gap. So that's the figure that jumped out at me, is that Notre Dame got about $10 million out of their year. What do they think of that? Your guess is as good as mine. Notre Dame tends to keep their cards fairly close to the vest. We will talk some recruiting coming up. It's always interesting when you talk recruiting in the South, and especially when you look at next week where everybody finally gets a chance to get going. What's the buzz on the recruiting scene? We will talk about that next here on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly, because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.
To Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Chuck Oliver Show rolls on. Heath Klein in for Chuck Oliver today. Recruiting, always a hot topic, and nobody spends as much time on it as John Garcia. He is Sports Illustrated's Director of Football Recruiting. You can find him on Twitter. JohnGarcia_JR is the handle, and he joins us now here on the Chuck Oliver Show. John, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Doing okay. I appreciate you making the time. We are in a very strange situation. You know, last year, of course, with the pandemic, we had a surge of early commitments. I think kids said, hey, I better lock in my spot, figure out what I've got. And so there were huge numbers early in the year. This year, the trend has been very different, and a lot of it gets back to finally getting a chance to go face-to-face with coaches. 1 week from tomorrow, the market opens up. What are you expecting it to look like?
I'm expecting it to feel more like a December or a January in terms of the month of June. I think as a lot of these prospects are going to see campuses in large part for the first time, you're going to see just a natural repercussion of decisions being made, whether that's verbal commitments or honestly backing off of current verbal commitments. I think there's going to be a lot of changing of the guard, changing of the heart, their minds, et cetera. Because, look, you know, these prospects have, yes, they've heard from these great coaches and these great programs, and they've talked to them in every single media you can in terms of, you know, text, phone, FaceTime, social media, et cetera. But it's different when you're there. It's different when you're trying on the jersey. It's different when you're, you know, inside of Sanford Stadium or Bryant Denny or wherever you are with your name on the Jumbotron. It's just a different feel. You know, it'll be a little bit more, again, like an end of the year, end of the cycle type of feel. And I think every single commitment list will be different really in a matter of weeks. I don't even think we'll have to wait till the end of June to see it. So I think it's going to be quite fun and really important, because not only are you getting these visits from prospects, but you're also getting prospect performances at college camps. And every single program, it seems like, is rolling out more camps than we're used to seeing in a normal year to really get that full evaluation in on a given prospect. So I think it's going to be quite the head-turning month of June for the bulk of this class of 2022, and it'll spill into 2023 as well. It's their first opportunity to see campuses at the same time. So I think you'll see both classes have a lot of fluidity.
Yeah, I'm really interested because, look, we've all seen guys go to camps and have a great camp and get an offer, and some kid that was relatively off the board suddenly has an Alabama offer or a Georgia offer, and it really gets people's attention. But normally they're also basing that maybe on what they saw in game situations too. But coaches can only go by what they were able to watch in tape form or something like that, you know, maybe a live stream. They're able to go out and see these kids in games. So are they going to try and do more evaluation, or is the camp wonder just going to still get the spot and that's it? And then they'll find out in the fall whether or not the camp wonder actually translates to on-the-field success.
I think you'll see some of that, but I think you'll see more sort of personalized workouts. Instead of maybe a prospect going through the normal camp fluid, you know, hey, you know, it seems like everything's a little bit more pressed to make these, you know, should we offer or should we not offer decisions. So I think you see a little bit more of a coach pulling a kid aside and say, hey, you know, spend 10 minutes over here and let's really dig into, you know, maybe the one question we have, whether it's a height and weight kind of deal or it's something within, you know, the evaluation itself, change of direction, speed, fluidity, et cetera. So I think you'll see a little bit more of, hey, let's get this final piece of this puzzle figured out and we can all sort of move on. Because I think while the tangible numbers are down in terms of verbal commitments, I think a lot of that has to do with roster management. It's a lot harder today than 5 years ago with the transfer portal, the extra year of eligibility, the transfer rule going through where it's not, you know, you're not having to sit out like we used to see. So there's a lot of overhead sort of roster management issues that I think prompt these college coaches to get this done a little bit sooner. So that's why you're seeing a lot of schools really sort of all in on the month of June. I mean, I just wrote a piece for SI about the power programs or the perceived power programs with very small numbers on the commitment list. And all of them, it feels like, have a huge month of June ahead in terms of official visitors and campers. So I think a lot of decisions will be made in the coming weeks.
I'm mighty interested to see what the line is that these schools go with. You know, you still have the 25 rule. So with the ability, an Alabama, a Clemson, a Georgia, an LSU, you know, these programs, if they want to, could basically have 25 high-level high school kids every year if they want them. But they also now know they're going to be super desirable as possible relocation spots for kids from other programs. So how aggressive do they get? How many spots are they willing to keep open for that inevitable transfer possibility that's going to be on the scene down the line?
And that's the major question. That's where it feels almost more like an NFL approach to what they're doing. There's only a certain amount of spots, and I think it creates a conservative approach numbers-wise for a lot of these programs. I think that's part of the reason why the numbers are low right now in general, and I think that's where the ceiling will be reflected in a lot of these classes. That number of 25 I'm not saying it'll permanently be a thing of the past, but in this class of 2022, I think it's the most affected by the pandemic and also the overhead that we just talked about with roster management. So I think that ceiling comes down a good bit. Clemson rarely takes over 20 anyway, but I think they stay under 20. Alabama always seems to take 25. I think they keep it much smaller. Georgia brought in a small class last year relative to what they normally do. I think those trends continue with this 2022 group, and this will be the one that I think feels the lowest in general compared to 2021, and then maybe moving forward when everyone readjusts in 2023 and beyond.
John Garcia, Sports Illustrated's Director of Football Recruiting, with us here on the Chuck Oliver Show. One of the things I know you pointed out in the last week, it seems like Mike Leach is actually off to a fairly good start recruiting. This was one of the big questions with him was, it's one thing to recruit to the places he's been before. Can he recruit enough talent to Starkville consistently to contend in the SEC? Is he maybe getting a chance here to prove his critics wrong a little bit?
He is. You know, only one program in the SEC has more verbal commitments than Mississippi State, and it's LSU. And both of those programs are really relying on the local and semi-local talent, those in-staters who sort of know those programs in terms of campus atmosphere expectation inside and out. Because remember, while official visits are put on hold until June 1st, you know, self-guided visits where you just say, hey, mom or dad, can you just drive me over to campus? Those were sort of unpoliceable, if you will. So a lot of prospects still took advantage of those. There were a lot of kids visiting for spring games to their local college. So I think that helped talent-rich states like Louisiana and Mississippi. And I think what also translates with Mike Leach and company is offense, right? It's 2021. Offense is king in college football, and his reputation still carries that weight. So I think the marriage between the location and what Mike brings in particular has helped Mississippi State load up, no surprise, on the offensive side of the ball where the majority of these verbal commitments are coming. And the state has a good amount of wide receivers. They got the quarterback committed early from the state of Texas, and it's just sort of bubbled up to a really nice early stretch for the Bulldogs. Now, as Ole Miss and company turn it up and other programs get Mississippians on campus, like we'll see everywhere, that could change, but to date, I think they're doing about as good a job as any program nationally.
On Friday last week, word came down that there's a young man out of Texas, running back, touted player, but we're not talking the number one player in the country. He's skipping his senior year. Not skipping his senior year and leaving, he's just not going to play his senior year of high school football to minimize wear and tear on his legs and to also focus completely on getting ready for college football. Do we buy this as a possible trend, or do we think this is kind of an isolated thing?
I think it's more isolated than a trend, and we're talking Jaden Blue, the running back from Texas, who's committed to the Longhorns. But I do think other prospects will see that and sort of think about it. I know of one other in the state of Florida who's telling people around him that he's thinking of doing the same. I actually heard before I heard of the news of Jaden Blue. So I think certain prospects, whether you're talking running backs, linemen, front seven guys, I could see that being a bit of a blip on the radar a little more consistently than college coaches would admit. But I don't think it becomes a vast trend where dozens of top prospects are doing this. And look, if you listen to the kid's reasoning, talking about Jaden, he is a big-time running back, had well over 2,000 yards last year, a lot of wear and tear on the body, and we all know about the shelf life of that position, even in the pass-first nature of college and NFL football. But he's already talking about Sundays. He's already talking about managing his time and his touches. So I think with that in mind, it does make some sense, but I don't think this becomes a huge trend in terms of opting out. Last year we saw a lot due to COVID or due to where geographically these kids were located, wanting to play football versus moving, et cetera, but I don't think it becomes a huge deal.
Yep. John Garcia, Sports Illustrated's Director of Football Recruiting. John, I appreciate you very much giving it a thought. I hope it doesn't become a trend. Kids should enjoy their senior year. Thanks for being with us here on the Chuck Oliver Show.
It's always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We will be right back. Talk some more CFB. Have some fun here on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. King of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Chuck Oliver Show rolling on. Heath Klein in for Chuck today, and joined right now by Chris Marler. He's part of Saturday Down South. You can find him on Twitter at Vern Funquist with the fun capitalized. We're going to have some fun here with Chris in just a second. Vern, the namesake of the Twitter handle, having a lot of fun yesterday, getting to call that Phil Mickelson chip in from the sand, I guess it's a sand shot, but from the bunker. You got to have some fun yesterday with that. Fun for everybody watching that thing unfold at the PGA Championship. Chris, how are you doing, man?
I'm good, man. We just got back from vacation, and usually that would be a huge downer. But, you know, we're like 50-plus days from media days. I just got the first preseason football magazine in my possession, so life is good, man.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I was going to actually talk about that, the fact that you had the magazine there. Everybody understands that these magazines are complete relics of another time. I mean, there's no reason any of us would ever need to buy another college football magazine that is printed before Memorial Day. And yet it just doesn't matter. We still do it every single year because it's something we had when we were young. It's something we looked forward to before the internet came along and sort of ate the world. And so, by gosh, we're going to still buy these things and just have them around to read. Just a little here, a little there. It's just fun. It doesn't matter if half the depth chart is wrong by the time the season comes around.
You know, honestly, I was telling my fiance this on the plane ride home. She was not thrilled at my initial suggestion for vacation. I was like, why don't we push it back a week? Because if we're going to be lounging around at this, like, resort, I'll have a lot of reading material if all the magazines are out. She's like, man, Chris, maybe we just be adults and we don't plan an entire vacation around a preseason football magazine. I was like, that's also fair. And the other thing I told her was, like, I was like, these things really are – it's like the Fast and Furious franchises. Like, they make zero sense. They're not really full of any kind of factual or logical information, but every year they come out, I'm going to get them, and I get really excited about doing so.
Yeah, I used to love going around the country because, you know, you get the local version too. You could get not just the regional, but you could get the local that really digs into the teams and stuff. It's hard to find them anymore, but I'm a sucker for them, man. I swear to you this is true. I tweeted it out last year because I was going through old boxes. I swear to you, I had a 2002 Kansas football preview magazine that I spent American currency on, featuring Mark Mangino on the cover. And
wow, that's a big
that
cover.
Just tells you I'm a sicko for this stuff. I admit it, but I love it. You were out in Arizona, actually, which means you're getting to experience the Arizona State vibe. That might be, out of all the universities in the country, the one that mystifies me the most why they're not better at college football. Because Scottsdale is an amazing place to go and spend time. People all over the country love going there. It's warm there all year round. So you can recruit kids from the north to come down to the south. You're close to California. You're close to Texas. Like, there is no logical reason Arizona State should not be really good at college football, and they never with consistency are.
Yeah, you know, honestly, Arizona State was one of the most disappointing campuses I've ever been on. And I think part of it's because, you know, I'm from the South. I grew up around SEC football. I love SEC football and college football in general. But, like, you know, you're right. Like, I'm old enough to remember the Jake Plummer Rose Bowl days. I remember those. And there's been times where they kind of popped up and you know, they upset Oregon a couple years ago and stuff like that. But when going out there, I just expected so much more. And I think partially because of COVID. But there was not a lot of southern hospitality in the Southwest. I'll say that. Because as soon as we got on campus, it was kind of like, hey, do you need help back to your car? And we're like, oh, that's a nice way to say get off campus. They did not want a lot of, like, visitors. But you're 1,000% right. Like, it is – there's no humidity, which is – I love the South. Lived here my whole life. Born and raised in Atlanta. But, I mean, my God, like, not having any sweat stains in a 24-hour period, that is a feat I was not accustomed to until I went to Scottsdale and Tempe. And so, you know, you have one of the best party schools in the country, one of the best-looking student bodies in the country. And you're right. Like, and you threw out California. You're close to everything in Scottsdale. You're close to Vegas. It's 4 hours away. I don't get it. I don't get it. But Herm Edwards, he's turning around a little bit out there, slowly, a little bit at a time.
Yeah, they're making some progress, but there's still just a lot to do. And you're right, by the way, that campus is about as uninspired a campus for just the buildings and the scenery. It's about as uninspired as you'll find, except for, I'll tell you one that's worse, Hawaii. And you think Hawaii would have an amazing campus, and Hawaii's campus is actually awful too. And I'm stupid enough that I was in Hawaii and spent time on their campus, so that tells you that something's wrong with me. But regardless, you go around, you check out different football stadiums. It's part of the fun. In fact, I can nerd out with you on this. Chris Marler with us from Saturday Down South. I swear to you, last week I was on vacation, I guess 2 weeks ago now, on vacation, and I went as a vacation item with my wife to Waldo Stadium, the home of Western Michigan football. I actually went there just to say I saw it. I didn't spend a lot of time, but we went there.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I actually have one of my best friends that went there and went to school there for, I think, one semester. He partied a little bit too hard, but that's a sickness, man. That's, you know, we got to get help because there's a lot of stuff going on in that city in Kalamazoo. Strangely enough, I mean, you got Bell's Brewery and all that kind of stuff, but. Yes, it was kind of – I want to get out there just because there's so much history, actually, there, which sounds crazy because it's Arizona State, but, you know, some of the Fiesta Bowls, all that kind of stuff. And just to one-up you again on the sickness, I went to the Fiesta Bowl Museum, which is, like, about the size of, like, a sunglass hut at a mall kiosk. But it was so – like, you know, we're already out here. We might as well. So anything to pass the time in the doldrums of summer to get season.
We are talking with Chris Marler from Saturday Down South. You mentioned media days. It sure looks like we're going to have them full speed. We don't know all the details yet. We know that they're saying they're going to have them, but we don't know if they're going to have any kind of restrictions on whether or not you can have a certain number of people in a room or anything like that. So we have to see. But they had moved the event out of Hoover. They had taken it to Atlanta. They were going to take it to Nashville this year. And then they said, nope, it's back to the comfort food. Let's get back to the Winfrey right there on the edge of Birmingham, back to what we know. I can't say back to what we love because not everybody loves it, but the SEC said, give me some comfort food. And Chris, I got to admit, I actually kind of want to go see that creepy carousel in the mall food court again. I actually want to see the Bama people that think that just because you're old and wear a hat, that means you look like Bear Bryant. I actually want to see them. It's been too long since I got my media days fixed. It's really weird.
I tell you what, first off, the incredible on point in terms of the attractions there at the Galleria. Anytime I can go to a mall that is literally sandwiched and bookended by two, not one, but two Belks, I mean, that's where I want to be. That's just heaven on earth. So, I mean, who doesn't love a good bargain on you know, Shaq, Ralph Lauren or whatever? So I think last year it kind of sucked in general just not being able to do stuff like that, because that is like the big kickoff, right? Like, it's mid-July usually, and you get to go out there, and sure, it's in Birmingham, but there's so much fun stuff associated with it, and you kind of feel like you get a little chance to a peek inside some, like, the players and coaches and all that kind of stuff, because there's a lot of coach speak, but there's also moments where you get to see people, like, a little bit behind the scenes and kind of, like, let their hair down a little bit. So, and I'm not just talking about Barrett Salee doing karaoke. It's, like, the coaches as well, so... I miss it. I loved it when I was here in Atlanta because it was close by. But for some reason, it's like, I mean, going to Birmingham, it's like going to Panama City Beach. Like, is it beautiful? Absolutely not. Is it going to get the job done? Yes, 1,000%.
For those who have never been to the Galleria Mall, they have a carousel in the food court. And on the carousel, they have a frog. And the frog, for no apparent reason, has a goose's head coming out of its back. It is bizarre. It's disturbing, frankly. I don't think I'd want to put a kid
anywhere
near that.
Is a demon.
And it's Yeah, it's very strange. It's like the Isle of Dr. Moreau, only in the middle of the food court there at the mall. Very, very strange stuff. Chris, is there a guy, when we do get to media days, whether it's a kid, whether it's a coach, is there somebody that you want to hear from? Because think about it. Think about what we had last year. We had a debut of Lane Kiffin as a head coach in this conference again. We had Mike Leach as a coach in this conference, and we didn't get either one of them in person. We didn't get the Ed Orgeron victory tour. We missed out on so much last year.
Yeah, Angry Saban. I tell you what, somebody who's the most entertaining person and captivating, attention grabbing out of all the coaches, which honestly, I loved Will Muschamp and I loved Derek Mason from Vandy. And so now both those guys are gone. You're right, though. We did miss out on both those guys. For me, it's Kiffin. Kiffin in general is just absolute electric factory. Going to have some sort of quote. You know he's going to have. Like, I mean, Kiffin is like I've done stand up for about a decade, right? I feel like Kiffin will prepare for media days the way I would prepare for a show. Like, he's going to have some stuff written down, some one liners in his back pocket. He might go to a class, I don't know, and find some like zingers just to get under Saban's skin. And, you know, the stuff with Leach is going to be really entertaining, I think, for a lot of people. He's also a guy, like, there's a lot to sift through in the words that come out of Leach's mouth, because he's almost like Ben Steinish monotone, but he will also somehow, like, just randomly, as you're almost like lulled to sleep, he'll just throw out something about Pirates and re-grab your attention. So I hate that we missed those last year. I'm looking forward to them this year. And another guy, Brian Parson. And talk about a guy that's like going into a very odd situation in Auburn, where I don't think a lot of us thought Gus was necessarily on the hot seat, especially in the year of pandemic. Then you have this guy coming down from Boise. How's he going to fit in with, you know, other coaches from this area and this region and also the media down here as well?
Yeah, there's a few guys I'm curious. We haven't seen Pittman in a lead role, and I think there's some personality there that might be fun. And I get some really, really strong chip-on-the-shoulder energy from Josh Heupel. Depending on who asks him what question and whether or not he feels like maybe it's showing a lack of disrespect, I get the feeling we could have some spicy moments from Heupel potentially when we get to Birmingham. But we still got like 6 weeks to go, and I'm already like planning out questions, man. I can't wait.
Same here, man. There's a lot to like about that week. You bringing up Pittman, I think, brings up a really good point, too, because he is one of the most charismatic, likable guys. And he's turned – now, it's not the same on the field, obviously. I don't want to get that, you know, twisted. And I know Dan – love Dan to death. I don't want him to get mad at me for saying this. But Pittman is, like, as close to – and what he's building at Arkansas, as close to what Orgeron had at LSU in 2019 as I think we'll get again – from the SEC. And what I mean by that is not like Arkansas is not going to go 15-0. They're not going to win a national championship and a Heisman and all these first-round picks. But in terms of a team where, and this is tough to do in the SEC, a team where everyone kind of pulls for them, I think you're going to get that a lot from Pittman. I think you also might get it from Beamer over there in South Carolina.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of new faces for us to get used to. And as you say, some of the guys didn't even get their final moment on the stage. I don't think that Will Muschamp's ever going to get a moment on the stage again. So it's a shame we all missed out on the closing scene there. Chris Marlar, you can see him on Twitter. Vern Funquist is the handle there. See his work at SaturdayDownSouth.com as well. Chris, always fun, man. Thanks for being on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Of course. Y'all have a great day, man.
There you go. A little bit of fun. Just hitting a bunch of different stuff. For real, maybe it's a sickness, but I love going to college campuses when we're on the road. And so we didn't just go to Western Michigan. We went by Notre Dame. We went by Indiana. We went by Purdue and checked them all out, spent some time at the college hangouts and so forth. And it's always just fun to see how other places are. But Arizona State, Scottsdale, if you've never been, Scottsdale is a great place to go and have fun. And that place just seems to have so much potential that they just never quite capitalize on. It is one of the great mysteries of CFB to me. Coming up, we have got a closing argument. You keep it right here on the Chuck Oliver Show, okay?
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives.
head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
People see him as the old guy that's been around, and he's been here for a year. He's had one football season. He just went through his very first spring practice because he didn't really get that last year. So he is still so young and has so much potential, but no one's going to work harder. No one has a better attitude and mentality to get better and learn, and it's important to him.
That is the voice of Shane Beamer. Got a chance to talk to him about Luke Doty, his quarterback there. And, of course, Shane Beamer, one of the young guys on his way up in the profession and someone who learned at his dad's side how to be first a player, then a coach. A guy who comes in with a great understanding, but, again, one of the young guns becoming a head coach. And given what we saw yesterday, made me think a little bit about how things have changed. It is now time for the closing argument. It's brought to you by the law offices of Alexander Shinora and Associates.
The King's Closing Arguments, presented by the best closing attorneys in the business, Alexander Shinora and Associates.
With law offices in Mississippi, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, and Tennessee, basically wherever you're hearing this show, you can find the fine folks of Alexander Shinora and Associates. So the big story yesterday in the sports world was Phil Mickelson. At the age of 50, he wins a PGA championship. And I was thinking, is there an equivalent to this that is even possible right now in college football? And there's really not. And once upon a time, not too long ago, there was. I mean, think about it. Right now, if you were going to pick a coach who could be sort of that beloved guy that's had success but has kind of fallen off the radar a little bit, and suddenly he's going to put it together and have one amazing season, who would we be talking about here? Maybe Mack Brown? Brown's back at North Carolina, and he did win a championship at Texas, so maybe Mack Brown. But that's the closest thing I could come up with to a Phil Mickelson-type story. Look around. The veteran coaches that would have been this, Frank Beamer, would have been one of those guys we could have had that conversation about roughly half a decade ago. Steve Spurrier would have been a guy we could have had that conversation about a half a decade ago. Maybe a guy like a Bill Snyder could have been somebody that, had he been able to break through and actually win that championship that he was as close to as he ever got in 1998, he could have been that story. But now look around. Look at what college football is. College football isn't just a young game for the players. College football is now a much younger game for the coaches. There just aren't that many guys, with the exception, of course, of Nick Saban. But Nick Saban can't be Phil Mickelson unless Nick Saban disappears for about 7 years. If somehow, inexplicably, Nick Saban both fell way off his performance level and also still stayed on the job and then won it in like 2029, then maybe he could be Phil Mickelson. But Nick Saban is just the head of a machine that keeps grinding year after year after year. He's not taken enough of a break to ever allow it to happen. And the guys who could have been the future versions of that, a guy like a Bob Stoops, he's not hanging around into his 60s anymore. I saw a really good piece. If you don't have theathletic.com, you may not have read it, but if you do have theathletic.com, I would encourage you, go check it out. It was Chris Peterson, another guy who could have been theoretically a lifer in college football, and he talked to Bruce Feldman about why he got out, why he retired at Washington, and why he doesn't plan to come back to college football. He was ready to go. The sport and the way it's changed, and the fact that year-round now with the transfer portal and recruiting and everything else, you must constantly be in motion. Those days for him, he just said, I didn't feel like I could do that anymore, that I could keep up with it the way that I needed to, and also do the things I need to do for my family. Urban Meyer, heck, he's in the NFL. Think about that. The NFL, less stressful than college football. Now, the days of
an equivalent to Phil Mickelson, the old guy who just had one last magic run in him. For college football, closest thing we're going to get to that is somebody who's like a 28-year-old who has a Chris Winkie type season someday if we have that again. But that's the closest we'll ever get to something like the Phil Mickelson saga. There you go. That is your closing argument, and it is brought to you with the offices of Alexander Shinar & Associates, with offices in Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Mississippi, and Tennessee. Basically, wherever you can hear this show, you'll find the great folks at the law offices of Alexander Shinar & Associates. And Dan Matthews joins me again.
Yeah, you know, a couple of things. I think, number one, I'm going to start with you. I've got to see this merry-go-round now. I mean, is it something that is going to be completely off-putting when I go down there to grab my Chick-fil-A breakfast and sit down in the food court at the River Chase Galleria there in Hoover, Alabama?
I can send you a picture of it because okay. I actually took it because it is that creepy. It's,
okay.
It's just bizarre. It's just like somebody took the time to design a frog. And first of all, I'm not sure if you could pick whatever you could to ride on a carousel that frog would be the first thing you choose.
Probably not my first choice, but yeah, go ahead.
But somebody took the time to sculpt that and then said, wait, it needs a goose's head coming out of its back. And I just don't understand the thought process of how that happened. So it's very odd.
Yeah, maybe there's like a tale of the frog and the goose. I don't know. I haven't heard of that one. The other one, too, very jealous of Chris Marler's recent vacation, because I always say that Tempe and Scottsdale is one of the hidden gems of places to go to. And if you're ever in Tempe, Arizona, for those of you out there who like to grab a drink or two, there's a place right on the main drag of bars right there called Casa that has many buckets of whatever alcohol you want to drink. And after a couple of those, so let's just say you're feeling pretty good if you're heading into the game. So keep that in mind for future visits down the road. One thing I really wanted to touch on today, Heath, that I thought was interesting, and that is, the part earlier you were talking about the programs that we believe in and the reputation that precedes them. And then also, too, the seemingly where Vegas at least wants to try to get you to say, oh, man, they must know something that I don't know. I better take said bet. And for Alabama, it is one of those things that I think, if nothing else, that is a bad bet for you this year, especially, too, when you consider all that they're losing at. Now, Crimson Tide fans, don't go jumping off on me just yet, because I still think you are going to be very good. But then when you see the 17 points, I believe, they have against Miami, and then the double digits they're favored against LSU and Texas A&M and Auburn, all these different schools, Heath, that is a murderer's row that I don't even think anybody, no matter how good you are, could be able to cover. I think if you still had Najee Harris and you still had Devonta Freeman and you still had Mac Jones on campus right now coming into this season, I would still look at some of those lines and say, well, LSU is supposed to be improved, and I'm supposed to see a much better, if not the best, Texas A&M team that Jimbo Fisher has had. I think that if nothing else, that is the team and the lines that I look at and say, not so sure, guys.
Yeah, I'm mighty interested to see what Bill O'Brien does there, because I'm not in love with Bill O'Brien as a coach. And I'd talk more about it, but we don't have any more time to do that. Thanks for hanging out today with us on the Chuck Oliver Show. Appreciate Dan Matthews and what he does, as well as the David Holloway that I get when I fill in for Chuck as well. We'll do it again tomorrow. Thanks for being with us here on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers, today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open! Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.